All right, so let's finish up reading the Karmavir, right? And I want to go back after we finish the what the Rama has to say on the Karm. I want to try to go over and get a basic idea of what the Ikarim are about. Okay. And I know it's something we always do. It's something we've been doing since we started. What are the Ikarim?
2 years.
But
2,000 years.
Well, we've done it a few times now. But let's see if we can get a closer approximation to the truth this time. Okay. All right. So last week we struggled with the 12th Yesod. And that's Yemos HaMashiach. I had a little bit of an argument about it, and we'll come back to it. And now the final Yesod, the Rambam says, is Tchias HaMesim Kvar Biarnuhu. That's it. No reason to go over stuff that he's done already. So let's just look back. Where did he explain it? Sure enough, there it is. Tchias HaMesim, he says... It's on Kuf Lamed Tes. You have that. You have the same number system as me. At the bottom, in the inside column, Utchias Amesim Yisod Miyisodos Toras Moshe Rabbeinu. Right, Utchias Amesim is a Yisod of the Yisodos of Toras Moshe Rabbeinu. Ein Dos Vein Kesher Im HaUma HaYehudis L'Mishe Eino Maimin B'Kach. So if someone doesn't believe in Tchias HaMesim, he has nothing to do with Judaism. Ela shehi l'tzadikim. Tchias HaMesim is a phenomenon for tzadikim. V'loshem breishes rabba. Gvuras kisham tzadikim. U'rishayim. Tchias HaMesim l'tzadikim b'vad. Okay. So basically is what? It is... It's a Yisod Miyisod Toras Moshe Rabbeinu that there will be Tchias HaMesim, and he's very clear that if you don't believe in Tchias HaMesim, you have nothing to do with Judaism. Okay, but you should know it's for the Tzaddikim, not for the Rishayim. And how could the Rishayim, who are dead when they're alive, come back to life? Right. If even when they're alive, they're dead. Kal v'chomer when they're really dead, they're not going to come back to life. Okay. V'kach omru aleihem hasholem. Rishayim afilu b'chayim k'ruim meisim. V'tzadikim afilu b'misoson k'ruim chayim. Okay. V'da she'odom yomos behechlet v'yipored l'ma she'hurkav mimeno. And you should know that without a doubt, a person will die, and separate from his components. Okay, that's natural death. And then what? What is he saying that line for over there?
Yeah.
It's not clear. Does he mean after Tchias HaMesim they'll go back to dying? It's not clear. All right. So anyway, so that's what the Rambam says. This is the last Yisod. It's Tchias HaMesim. Now he says, "V'kasher yihu kayomim la'adam kol ha'yisodos halal." Now I'm back in Kuf Mem Dalet at the bottom. And now, when a person has all of these yisodos, ve'emunaso bohem amitis, that's the hard part, right? And he has a true belief in them, not just a lip service, but he really understands what they are, and he really believes in them with a truth. Harehu nichnas bechlal Yisrael. That person has now entered into Klal Yisrael. Once he has these 13 Yisodos, right, and he has them in a truthful way, then he's part of Klal Yisrael. V'chova lo'ohavo v'lachmo lo'lo v'chom ma'shetziv Hashem osanu. Okay, so he says, so at that point the person is a part of Klal Yisrael, and they have the obligation to love him, all the things that are part of the halachos of Ben Adam L'Chavero, of Ish L'Re'ehu. V'afilu osa mashi yochol lios min haveros, machmas tavoso, v'skavros yitzro hara. even if the person fails, basically, right? He does averos because of his taiva or whatever, he's overpowered by desire. Harehu nenash lefi godel merio v'yesh lo chelek v'umi poshe Yisrael. So there's a difference between a person who does not have the ideas of the Ikarim, he's not part of Klal Yisrael. And once you have the Ikarim, so then you're part of Klal Yisrael. Now you can be part of Klal Yisrael and be a poshe, poshea. Can be someone who sins, part of Klal Yisrael, but he sins. Okay, ain't adam, no one is perfect. So that person will be punished for whatever sin he has, but he still will have his chelek olam haba. Yeah.
So meaning there's three categories. There's the guy who's got the yud gimel yisodos, right?
Right.
Who's not a poshea.
Right.
You have the one who has them, but he is a poshea. And then you have the guy who doesn't have them, so he's not in anything.
Right. Now, is it out of Klal Yisrael? And then there's in Klal Yisrael, and then there's in Klal Yisrael. And once you're in Klal Yisrael, so you're basically judged according to your sins and your merits.
So,
but it's not a tarta disaster. It doesn't mean it's not a contradiction to say that. In other words, the point is like this: there are failings that are essential, right? There are certain failings that a person will have that are so severe we'll say he's not part of Klal Yisrael anymore. He has such a mistake in his knowledge. It's not, but that's sort of part of his. That's what Ram's saying. Those are his ideas. That's his knowledge, his beliefs. Now a person can believe all the right things and be overcome by a desire. So that doesn't mean he's not. That doesn't mean he's not part of Klal Yisrael. He's just overcome by a desire. So he'll be he'll have his chelek olam haba and he'll be a sinner. But he says, "Kasher yafak feik adam biyisod me elu hayisodos, arayu yotzam min haklal v'kofer bigger v'nikra min v'apikaris v'kotzis b'natios." We throw every label at the guy. V'chova l'sanoso u'lashmido v'olavu omer v'alo m'sanecha Hashem esne. Okay, so in other words, that's a big chilek. It's an important chilek. There's a difference between what? A doubt in the Yisodos, he says, that removes you from the group. And a person can be part of the group, not a stellar member of the group, but he's still a member of the group, right?
You can have a guy who does every mitzvah in the book, but he doesn't believe in Tchiyas Mason, so he's completely devoid of every what?
He's not devoid of every what, but he's devoid of enough what to not be in the what. Is that clear?
Sounds
yeah,
like
crystal,
an example
crystal.
Back there. Filling blanks.
So the Rama has a similar thing in
Tchias. I don't know what the what is.
All right, well, we're just starting talking. We'll work on things. So he has a similar thing in Hilchos Tshuva, in Parag Gimel, that talking about the avonos and the zechuyos that the person has. So he says, Habenonim. Yeah. Yeah, he says, V'chein kol ha-rishoyim shavonoseyem merubim. A person who has more sins than merit. Donin oso kefichatoseyen. So just because a person has many sins and they outweigh his merits, so he gets judged for that. He's judged for that. V'yesh lehem chelek olam haba. But that doesn't mean he doesn't have a chelek olam haba. Shekol Yisrael yesh lehem chilek olam haba. Af opi shechotu. Shenemar v'ameich kulam tzadikam li'olam yirshu oretz. Eretz zu moshel. Klomer, eretz achayim v'olam haba. V'chein chasidi umos ha'olam yesh lehem chilek olam haba. Okay. So the Rambam is saying that that's what these Yisodos represent. They represent the basic. We'll have to want to define a little bit better. But he's saying it represents the knowledge. It represents the beliefs that make a person what he calls part of Klal Yisrael, and therefore he has chelek in olam haba, And a person can have a chelak olam hava, and you can have a big chelak olam hava, and you can have a lot of zechus and a lot of schar olam hazeh and olam hava. A person could have a chelak olam hava and have a lot of avonos and have onesh kafi avonosov. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't have a chelak olam hava. There's two different things. Okay. Yeah. Let's just finish it up, and then we'll come back and discuss it. He's like this: "Ukvar herachti bedvarim me'od." I've been very lengthy on this matter, right? And I went out of the scope of the book. This is a Pirush Mishnayos. We haven't seen the Mishnah in months, right? So he says, "But I did this because I saw a great benefit be'emuna." In Amuna, Lefisha Ani Osafti Lechod Varm Rabim, O Elam, Hamafuzar Bechiburim Rabim, U Gedolim Hoyabem Usha. So he says, he says this elsewhere in the Perishna. He says, you know, when I find something that has to do with a Yesod, or, you know, an important idea in Amuna, I stop the Parashnayas and I spend time on that, because that's really the tremendously important thing. So he says over here, too, he took a big break from the basic subject of Perish Mishnayos because he realized that there's a great benefit in Emunah to gather in all of these statements from Chazal and Svarim that are spread around and to consolidate them under one theme and into one consistent explanation of this topic. And he says, you should go over this many times. The Rambam says here, go over this many times, and you should think into them very well. Okay, and he says, and if your thoughts fool you into thinking that you understand them one time, after you read it one time, you feel like you got it, or 10 times you feel like you got it. God knows that you're lying to yourself. Interesting.
What number are we on?
Right. So he says, and don't read it quickly. Interesting, Ram. He says, because I didn't write it just stom the way I thought about things. I didn't just write it like a stream of consciousness like people say. Right? I only wrote it after I thought into it very deeply, and I had yeshiva das and iyun, and as he said, this was a very, very well thought out. He meditated over this and he thought out exactly how to approach it and how to write it. It's not something he just wrote on the fly. So you shouldn't, you know, sometimes when you read something, you don't realize the work that went into what's written, and you can read it in 20 minutes. But it's different. If the guy wrote it in 20 minutes, then maybe it's worth a 20-minute read. But if you know that the author put in tremendous work and tremendous depth and really chose his words very carefully, then you should read it in a corresponding fashion. And he says... it's interesting. He says, "Ve'iyun b'deos nechonos ve'bilti nechonos." Says, "I thought very deeply into the proper ideas and the improper ideas." Right. And the sika mashitzorch lahamin mehem ubiruro b'tainos ve'rayos al kol inyan v'inyan. And basically, the summary of what you need to believe about them and their explanations with proofs and claims on each inyan. U'me'es Hashem eshal l'nechoseini b'derech ha'emes. Okay, fine. So, yeah. But what I'd like to understand, though, is what really is the... what's the main idea here of the Yesodos? Okay? Yeah. Give me 1 second. Yeah. So the thing is like this. Now, as the Rambam is, when he's talking about these Yigimul Yesodos, Yigimul Yikarim, so he's talking about things. It would seem he's saying that if you're Maimon in the Yigimul Yikarim, so then you're part of Klal Yisrael, Chelek Olam Haba, and if you're not, then you're out of Klal Yisrael, and it seems you don't have a chelek olam haba, right? Yeah. Doesn't say that exactly, but that's the implication. He's a yatzam in a klal, he's a kofar v'ikar, unless, v'nikbar min, v'apikaris, kotzis v'nitiyos, v'apikaris is one of them that has no chelek olam haba. So, but the thing is like this, there are a lot of things, the Rambam holds kares is no olam haba, correct? So there are a lot of things that you have kares for, right? So what's the difference? What's the difference between something you have kares for? You don't have olam haba because you eat chaylev. You don't have olam haba because doesn't bring the carbon pesach, or these things. And as a matter of fact, In Parag Gimel Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam says there are 24 things that you don't have a chelek olam haba for.
He doesn't say you're chayav kares for not having these ideas. So there's something different going on.
The elu she'ein lem chelek olam haba in Parag Gimel Achavav ela nichrasin ve'ovdin v'nidonin al godel risham v'chatosam li'olam ul'olme olamim. Okay, so there's a little bit of a thing. Is that the one? That's the question on the gears, I think. I think in the old Girsa it has something about Gehenim. You ever see that?
Yeah. I think that's the wrong Girsa.
Right, that's the wrong Girsa. But, So what does he have over here? So he has the Minim, which is basically our group here, Apikarsim, which is basically our group here, Kofrim Bator, which is basically our group here. But then he has other things. Mishumadim, he's a Mishumad for an Avera. He is... He's machtiyas a rabim. He's parish midarkei tzibur. Osa averos biyad rama, openly, brazenly. He's a moser, matile emal a tzibur. And they said, kol echad vechad me'arva ve'eser ma'anashim elu shem moninu afal pisha hein yisrael ein lem chelek olam haba. And then he says, and there are other averos too, like a guy gives his friend a nickname, right? A guy gives his friend a nickname. Or he's Mavazeh Talmidei Chachamim. Or he's Mavazeh his Rebbeim. Miskabi Bekalon Chaver. Or Malbim Heram Flei Chaver Barabim. Mavazeh Samoados. Machalos Lekachim. There's a lot of things. So there are a lot of things you lose the Chelek Olam Haba for. So what exactly is unique about the Yud Gimel Ikarim? Little things, the Rambam says in the Parasha Mishnah, I think we did it. Did we do it last year? He says it means things that are done like they're a part of your personality, and they reveal a deeper character flaw. Yeah, it doesn't just mean like a chait, like you say a nickname. It means you are have no concern for another guy, and you basically have a way to be mavazahim, and you do it in a way that it's a joke, so you're getting off the hook. You know how people are.
Not the mic, it's the
right. Right. I think he says openly, he says, because a person who does this must have so deep, Lefisha lo yavo maisam and the maisam ha'elu, v'alf pishim kalim, lefi machshavas ha'choshev, ki mi nefesh chasera. It says only someone who's really deficient. It's like a person who does this consistently, it doesn't happen unless a person has a really bad types of state of the soul. But anyway, so what do you say over here? It's a good question, Jacob. So the Rambam, no doubt the Rambam is, obviously the Rambam is working off of this Mishnah, right? So what does the Mishnah say again? The Mishnah says, "Kol Yisrael yesh lehem chelek olam haba." Every Jew has a chelek in olam haba. So the Rambam is taking from that, he's deriving from that a very important idea. And what is that? What is that? Yeah. That the Mishnah is not saying doing anything. The Mishnah is not saying because of a specific mitzvah, because of any specific maisa. It's saying being a Jew. Kol Yisrael yesh lehem chelek olam haba. Even a sinner. Even a Jew that's a sinner. That's what it means. right? I mean, so what does that mean? That means that there is an idea that just being a Jew is enough to be to merit the Olam Haba. But what do we know? We know that Olam Haba really is a result of perfection. We know that Olam Haba really is a result of a person's state, of the state of his soul. It's not just something that's it's not unrelated to your perfection. And we know that, what does it mean? What does perfection really mean? It means your ideas, what you believe in, what you know to be true. So the Rambam said like this, so therefore it must be that when it says Kol Yisrael Yeshlem Chelek Olam Haba, it must mean that to be a Jew means to have a certain minimum perfection. And to have a certain minimum perfection must mean to have a certain level of knowledge. So therefore it must be that there's a certain level of knowledge where we'll say you're a Jew, and a certain level of knowledge where we'll say you're not part of Klal Yisrael. And the Rambam set out to try to define the knowledge that makes someone part of Klal Yisrael, and therefore Zocha Techayel Olam Haba, and the things that that's all you need to say what it takes. And if you don't have it, you don't got it, right? But you hear the equation? Kol Yisrael Yeshlem Chelek Olam Haba. But we know Olam Haba is a result of perfection. Perfection is really the sum of your knowledge. That's what the Rambam says in Hilchos Yisrael HaTorah. And therefore, it must be that there is a set of beliefs, there's a set of knowledge that makes you a Yisrael. And it's that knowledge that is the minimal perfection of Olam Haba. Now, it's possible to be Hasidic almost Olam also, but that's a different story. Yeah. Oh, so that's just the perfect, that's Olam Haba by way of the state of your perfection. And if you don't have that perfection, you don't have you don't have the minimal quantity of knowledge and perfection for Olam Haba. But it's possible for a person to have that and get kares as an onesh. In other words, you were right, Avi. I agree. There's two types of nichrosin. There's nichrosin memela, that the person simply doesn't have the necessary amount of knowledge, of perfection. His soul is not developed to a minimal point. And then there's an onesh. There's a kares that's an onesh. A person needs chelev doesn't mean that he's necessarily lacking in one of the yudgim lekarim. Not necessarily. He could just be a Russia and whatever it is. He's an onesh. There's an onesh of chelev. So I think what the Rambam is trying to do over here is he's trying to reduce down to the core of what are the essential beliefs that you can say are the necessary quantum of knowledge, the necessary quanta of knowledge that a person should have to be considered part of Klal Yisrael. How do you define something like that? How do you go about finding that? What guidelines would we use? I mean, basically what I'm asking is, like, what do we mean by an ikar? I mean, the Sefer Ikarim tries to work out, like, different ways of an ikar. But what do we mean over here by calling these things the Yesodos or the Ikarim? What are we looking for? Can we have, like, a general description of what we mean by the Ikarim, the set of things that we call the Ikarim? Yeah. So I think, I mean, maybe you'll say it's a little bit of a circular kind of a thing, but I think that the idea of when we say, when the Rambam is looking for, he's looking at Torah, his knowledge, the ideas of Torah, and what we'll call an ikar is, you know, in Torah, in the realm of the of a person's knowledge and his beliefs, it's tricky because there are any particular belief, you can have, you know, a very basic understanding of it and a very, very deep understanding of it, right? Or a person can have, you know, a very elementary knowledge of the system of Torah, and another person can go into esoteric things that nobody's ever even heard of, right? And they're part of Torah. So how do you distill? I mean, what does it mean to isolate an idea and call this an ikar and that not an ikar? What's the mark? What are we looking for? In other words, I'll give you an example of what we're not looking for. And this is like a Sefer HaKarim. He talks about these kinds of things. Like, sometimes when you talk about a system and you look for the ikarim of the system, you know, a handy example is like geometry. If you have a passing familiarity with geometry, so you know it's set up with what they call the postulates in the beginning, right? And like mathematicians try to work out these types of postulates for systems. You know, basically what it means is like to reduce things down to the fewest assumptions that you have to make in order to work out a whole system. So if you wanted to know the fewest assumptions that you have to make from which you can prove that the square on a hypotenuse covers the same area as the two squares on the legs, you maybe, I don't remember, 13 postulates, whatever it is. I don't remember how many postulates there are. And what is a postulate? What do you mean by a postulate? That you can draw a line is a postulate, right? That, basic things like that. Definitions of a point and things like that. Okay? So the Rambam is not looking for that kind of a thing. That's not what we're looking for Yikarim. We're not looking like the most fundamental things from which you can build up a bigger system. Because in reality, if a person knows all of those postulates, he doesn't really know anything about geometry.
He just knows the rules.
He just knows the rules. He doesn't really have a knowledge. You wouldn't say he has a fundamental knowledge of geometry. He's got sort of like, these are the tools that you need in order to get into and think about and work in the realm of geometry, right? Like someone once told a story, like I said, the postulates are about the triangles and the lines. He says, look, you don't have to believe that there is such a thing as a triangle, but if you want to study geometry, you have to assume that for now. You know, I'm not saying you have to believe you can draw a straight line, but if you want to learn geometry, you've got to assume that. You know what I mean? So it's just like the basic assumptions that give you the tools to go ahead and work on the system. But that wouldn't satisfy the realm. That wouldn't help a person. Because what does he know? Correct? Yeah, Jacob?
Like you're saying, like, you might know the rule.
Yeah, you don't really have knowledge. You don't really have knowledge. So what I think what we're looking for more is something like this. Something that I can say is true knowledge is really, you have content, you have ideas, is knowledge. And yet, and it's the amount that you have a certain amount that everything else that you learn would be considered enhancing what you have. Not adding new qualitative things, but we call it everything else is an expansion, an expansion, an enhancement, an embellishment, a richening, fulfilling of what you have. In that sense, I think the Rambam is searching for Ikarim. Ikarim in the sense that it's not all the knowledge. That's not an ikar, that's everything, right? I mean, ikar means it's less than everything. Otherwise, it's everything, right? It's not an ikar anymore. So it's less than everything, but it's sort of qualitatively is not lacking anything. Because everything else that you learn is somewhat contained. I wouldn't say it's contained in here, but everything else that you learn is simply a kiyum in a basic thing that you already know. It's a key. That's what we mean by a, like we call sometimes we say it's a kiyum in something. It means you have the essential thing, and further work will enhance it. Okay. That type of knowledge, I believe, is what the Rambam is looking for. He says that's the knowledge that we can say a person is a Yisrael, and he's Zochet Chayal. What do you mean he's a Yisrael? It means he has the basic knowledge. And what do we mean by the basic knowledge? We mean the core beliefs and the core ideas, that everything else is simply an enhancement of. Everything else is simply, it already has a place. Everything else has all the addresses are there. Everything else is being filled in, simply filling in, like a skeleton, and everything else is being filled in. Yeah, Avi. So let me show you how I think it works out over here. So I think there are two methods of coming up with Ikar. I think in the Rami is basically two methods. One method is to take a deep, deep idea and break it into components that are true. Each component is true. So for instance, the first few, right? The first few are like that. What are the first few? That God exists, that God is one, that God is not physical, that God is eternal. Okay? So we've discussed this many, many times, right? And it's probably, you're probably familiar with this, that, you know, God's existence and his achdus and the fact that there's no physicality and the fact that he's eternal, really, in a deep philosophical sense, all are a singular concept. They all stem from the idea that God is beyond anything in this physical world that we know of. Right? That's what we mean by his achdus. That's what his achdus and his the fact that he's one, the fact that he has no guf. Those are all very, very close. They're really just different parts of the same idea. I mean, I don't know if we did it, but Kuzari has it, Munus Vadeus has it. Basically, look, it's one idea that we just don't have a word to express, so we have to talk about it from different viewpoints. But the point is like this. It's not that the Yesod, when the Rambam fashioned the Yesod, the great eon that he put into it was to not require the high level of knowledge, the complete knowledge that a person has when he sees how they're all really one idea. That's a very high level already. But on the other hand, it can't just be an empty God. It can't just be there's a God. That wouldn't be knowledge. So he has to break it up into component pieces of knowledge, that the existence of God, and he goes through not just that God exists, but that his existence is the cause of all other existences, and it's not like anything else, and all these other, he gives you a little, you know, a basic understanding of what we mean by existence. And then achdus too, it's like not like an achdus, it's like anything else, and he gives you a basic understanding of what we mean by the achdus. But in isolation, just each idea in isolation. Now, when a person grows and gets deeper and deeper, he'll then realize how all four of those things really come down to one. But all of that is really a kiyum in the true knowledge that he had of of God's of Metzias Hashem, Achduso, Shlilas Gashmius, and Kadmus. He'll be able to see in retrospect how all of those ideas that he understood in isolation really come down to a deeper singular concept. But what he had was true, and now he's simply seeing how each one of those ideas really are related to one another in a necessary way. You understand? But the Rambam, in his giving over the Yesodos, wants to take now each idea and break it down. It's like two levels. First, he has to take Torah, Judaism itself, reduce it down to what its fundamentals are, meaning the core ideas that you can say, these represent the ideas of Torah, and all deeper ideas are simply an enhancement of them. And then within the particular ideas, like the idea of God, he also reduced it down to its a certain level, similar level of components, to say, take the full idea of God, let's show what true pieces of knowledge are necessary to have, to say you have knowledge of God, and whatever you develop later will simply be enhancing the true knowledge that you have. You understand? So it's a terrific approach. And no doubt it was not easy, and the Rambam, spent a very long time working on this. But that's the point. He's making something that's accessible to the Hamon, that is true, and yet can be an Iker, because it has that relationship that everything else that you see after will always be, that's how the Achdus really, that's where the Achdus really comes from. Oh, that's where the Kadmus really comes. I see now how the Achdus, the Kadmus, and all of them really stem from one. I see how they're really one, but we had to think about them individually. Now I get the whole thing. You understand? That's one method. That was Rafi's question, and this is something I was grappling with a little bit. In other words, what if you'll say that these are the Yud Gimel Yesodos, Yud Gimel Ikarim, and then there might be other ideas in Torah that are just isolated but not that important, so they're not... is that what you're asking? Why am I saying that everything has to come back to be a Kiyam in these Ikarim? Why can't it be, these are the super important things, and then there are things that are not so important? Right? Why am I saying that as Yesodos and Ikarim, it has to be that everything else is coming back and enhancing what's already there? Why can't it just be things you need and things you don't need? Right, any question? Yes, good question. It seems to me that if you're gonna say the other ideas are either part of Torah or they're not part of Torah. If they're part of Torah, then how can you say that this is the Iker of Torah and it doesn't contain those ideas? So that's what I'm trying to say. What he's saying is he takes a look at all of the ideas of Torah and he says, these are the ikar of the whole Torah. Why? Because they relate. In other words, if a person has these ideas, he has the essence of what Torah is. So what are all the other ideas if this is the essence? So it must be they're simply enhancements of the essence. Otherwise, they're not related to anything. Because any other idea has to be related to the whole has to be part of Torah. So where is it? So you have to say it's not a new concept. It's simply part of Torah because it expands and enhances and has a deeper extension beyond the basics. But it has to be a part of it. It seems it has to be related back to whatever you're going to call an ikar. I mean, that's what it has to be. We'll think about it a little more. It's a good question, but that's what I concluded. Not that that means anything, but that's the way I thought about it beforehand. Now I just want to get to one last thing. So that's one method. One method is to take a big idea and to break it down into units of ideas that you can go deeper into. Yeah. His question? Yeah. The other method is. See, this is a good method when you have a deep concept, okay? But the Rambam has another method, for different ideas. There are certain things that it's not that it's a deep concept, but it's a belief that you have to have in an unlimited way. In other words, there's two, when we say that ideas, we're grappling with the issue of if you have an idea, if an idea has tremendous depth to it, like the knowledge of God, the Rambam says basically, you know, no human being could get to the end of the knowledge. So that idea is part of Torah. So if it's an idea that's part of Torah, and is the essence of Torah, you would say, and the idea itself is unlimited, how can you reduce it down to component? How do you make it an ikar? I mean, basically, you have to say, you have to be the perfected person. You have to be Moshe Rabbeinu to be part of Klal Yisrael. It's not possible. So how does he do it? He takes the deep, deep idea and he gives you the component knowledge of that from which all the depth that comes after it is simply enhancements, okay? But there's another kind of a deep idea. It's not that it's deep in terms of its abstractness. It's not that it's an abstract concept, but it's an unlimited concept. What do I mean? That's like Tchiyas HaMesim. The Rambam says, that's what I want to do next. He says in Maimer Tchiyas HaMesim, he says, why did he pick the resurrection of the dead as an ikar? He says, really the ikar is Nisim. He says, but to believe in Nisim is really the ikar. God's ability to manipulate the world as we know it.
The most extreme example of Nisim.
So, but the belief in Nisim has to be that God has an unlimited ability to be Mishana Teva. So, how do you make sure a person has that ikar to what we call the nth degree, right? How do we make you take? He takes the example that expresses unlimited idea of Neis. He says, if a person doesn't believe in Tchiyas HaMesim, it must be because he believes there's some limitation on God's ability. So he takes a particular that represents the final, the greatest expression of that Yisod. So that's what I was maybe ineptly trying to do last week with Mashiach. And we wanted to say, take a page out of the Rambam's own playbook, that the ikar of Mashiach really was a yesod in terms of emunas chachamim, that the idea of Mashiach is really expressed and is known through a Kabbalah, and the Kabbalah of the chachamim and the Bali Masorah is also one of the things that is necessary to be part of Klal Yisrael, and the Rambam took it as an expression of that, just like Tchiyas HaMesim is sort of a litmus test of your belief in Nisim, Tchiyas your fervent belief in Mimosa Mashiach expresses a complete commitment in your belief to the Bali Masorah and the Munas Chacham. That's what I think. That's what the Rambam is trying to do in general. And so if we go over the elements, what does he have over here? So he has the ideas of God, right? The idea of Torah. I mean, I think like the ideas of Schar Va'onesh, and also the ideas of Nisim and an idea of the Kabbalah. So,
what's
the deep ideas are really the ideas about God, and that really takes in five altogether, right? It really takes in the first four, and also the way we were learning is the yisod about that God knows everything. The tenth yisod, right? And then there really also, I mean, I think it's true that there's also the yesodos about perfection of man. And that really, I think, is the yesod. The fifth and the sixth really are related to that idea. That it's only roy to be oved Hashem, and that there is a reality that a person can reach such a high level that he can have nevuah. And then 7, 8, 9, and 10 are about Torah. 10 is Schar V'Onesh. I'm sorry, 11 is Schar V'Onesh, and 12 and 13. We're not sure about 12 exactly. Is either about Kabbalah and the Yamunis Chachamim and Nisim, or the idea that the Torah itself also part of the idea of Torah. We're not sure. We weren't sure if the Moshe Mashiach is an idea of Torah too, that the Torah is something that is ultimately will have a complete victory over and transform the whole world. That's part of our belief in Torah, that it's not a relic and it's not something that's waning and just going to die out, but it's really ultimately going to be there's going to be das of God and fulfilled in the whole world. Or the other possibility is just a possibility that it represents a certain concept in a similar fashion, like Tchias HaMeisim represents a concept. Okay, so let's stop here, and I guess next week maybe we'll start the Maamar Tchias HaMeisim. It's a good segue into that. Very interesting. It's entertaining, that one. In other words, so if it's a deep idea, then the Ram gives you the basic components of the idea from which you can go deeper and reflect on what you already learn and see it, see where it's stemming from in a deeper and deeper way. And when it's something like Nisim, he doesn't give you the yesod of Nisim because that's ambiguous. What do you mean by Nisim? How far do we take this idea of Nisim? So then he gives you the particular example which demands the fullest, most complete idea of Nisim.